Yes, sir, the pastor's car will be sitting right outside of that airport. He can just go from there.
God desires to work through people, amen? He's the greatest provider, and he uses people to bless other people. That's what God does. First, he made man to honor him. Then when man failed God, he promised a Messiah to reconcile him, amen? To deliver them. Jesus came, Jesus taught many messages, and he lived the message of giving. Turn with me, won't you please, to the book of John, chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, John 6, 5 through 14, and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? John 6, 5 through 14. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. John 6, 5 through 14. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth of the prophet that should come unto the world. Amen? What a blessing to be able to read that report. The wonderful message that we can see is for the church family. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ established his church. And Jesus is working in our midst. Amen? I mean, you heard the ministry tonight, how hundreds of churches have been helped with their first sanctuary. Amen? What a blessing through Jehovah Jireh. Through your own church, you encourage over 26 different pastors and evangelists and missionaries who came in this weekend, how you afforded them food and you afforded them a nice place to be, some to be able to stay overnight. And then you gave them opportunities to hear God's word. God's way is always through willing people, amen? And God touches people so that they might be able to go forward and do his work. Jesus did provide a miracle in the lives of these people by feeding 5,000. I don't know if you've ever gone to a meeting, but sometimes the preachers can go on and on and on and on, and you get hungry. And a lot of times folks don't think the media's going to go that long, so they don't even think about bringing a snack bar along with them or takeout, a Chick-fil-A bag or whatever else. And that was the case, all right? I think you can understand that was the case. It was too far for them to go back home, and the Lord took care of that need. He did it more than one time, you remember, as those of you who study the Word. This is nothing new that I'm going to share with you. You've read it. Some of you have taught it. And you could preach it better than me, but I've got the blessing and was anointed this evening to be able to share this with you. So I'd ask you to hold on and listen along with me how the Lord God distributed. 1 giving lad, 12 serving disciples, and 1 Savior's touch. First of all, 1 giving lad. Would you look at the 1 giving lad in verse number 9? The youth had his lunch, and he shared it with the disciples for the Lord's blessing. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes represented supply from the Lord God for this lad. It's a good lunch if you're a single lad. I had a few moments this week to be with some of the Yoder's children. And I tell you what, I don't think that if Mrs. Katie Yoder were packing a lunch for her son Timothy or for Micaiah, that she would only give them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It wouldn't be enough. It'd just be a snack for those boys. All right? But this is what this mother did. It's a good lunch if you're a single lad, and you're grateful if you know the Lord to share it with others. He needed it, and so he heard about that need. Can you hear the whispering going on? They're trying to find out, and this little lad shared it. He gave it to the Lord. It was a witness to the disciples. The Word of God is given in detail in this story to remind everyone that God can do much in a little. Amen. God can do much with little. Remember how God used Aaron's rod? It was a tool that God used to lead the captive Hebrew children into the threshold of the promised land and then into the promised land. To divide the Red Sea, remember that, as they left out of Egypt to go into a brand new time inside of their life. God used David's sling, didn't he? Remember that? That he might be able to take on the giant Philistine, Goliath. He used pulp to feed those young Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. What is it that God wants to use today? God wants to use what's in your hand. Amen? You know that. The resources you have, you look at it, doesn't seem like much. Look at that little lad. It's all that you have, but God will be willing to use it. God will be willing, right where you are, God will be willing to use it. God be willing to use some of your children. And some of you are sitting right now and say, well, I want my children to go and to go into my business. I want my children to go and do this, to go do that. Listen, you better not try to hold on to those children. You better hand them over to the Lord. It'd be much better in the Lord's hands going and planting a church, or going and helping a church planter, going and helping in the Lord's work, than trying to follow in your business and being miserable. Let them have what God's done for them. Amen? After all, that's why you wanted to see them saved. Amen? Dedicate them back to God. Dedicate them back to God and give them back to the Lord. Inside of our church, we dedicate little babies. Not that they would be saved. And we actually have the parents come forward and we tell all the parents in front of the whole congregation. Really, it's the parents are dedicating themselves to the Lord. Just like Hannah was dedicating Samuel, remember? We're just saying, now, Hannah, you got to raise him in the honor and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? And do what God would want. Not that this child's saved. This child won't be saved until they get ready to be saved. But you need to set it up so that they can be ready to be saved. And watch what God will do. Now, measures are by people are small. Have you noticed that? Measurements by people are small. But the same amount, when you take that measure and you put it in the Lord's hand, it can turn to mighty. Amen? Have you ever seen the Lord do that before? I remember a little girl in Grass Lake, Michigan, walked up to me. And my wife and I had gone there with our two little boys. And this was in 1990. This was one of 52 churches that we presented the idea that we wanted to plant a church in the capital of Michigan, Lansing, Michigan. Lansing's right in the middle, all right? It's an easy state to be able to show people using your hand, huh? All right? And that's where we were going to go. So we went around to all churches. We say, look, would you pray for us? Do you have a relative in that area? Do you have any hymnals? Do you have a pulpit? We had nothing. Do you have offering envelopes? Do you have anything that you could let us use as we go forward? And so when we told my brother, who I had been serving with for 8 years, we're going to go plant a church, he said, Tim, we'll help you. But where do you think the Lord wants you to go? I don't know. We surveyed eight cities in the state of Michigan that did not have an independent Baptist church. All had over 100,000 people. We ended up in Lansing, and they minister over 444,000 people, call Lansing their home. Now, a lot of them, you know, commute in the area, you know, but there's a lot of people that use that community because of Michigan State University and because of auto owners, because of state business. And so we knew that God would want us to be there and work at it. And we talked to other preachers who had been there for a while and around the areas, and then the Lord led us into one area. And then I remember when we were there presenting the Grass Lake and telling folks about the ministry, a little girl came up to me after the service. She said, you know, Pastor, I know that God's going to provide for your family, but I want to be the first one to give towards your church here. And she had gone to her bank at home the night before and told her mom that when the pastor from the new church is going to get going, she wanted to be the first one to give towards it. And she handed me $5. That was our first seed money for a brand new church. Amen. Now, you may not think that's much, but right now, our building and properties have been evaluated over $1 million. And one little girl had the faith to see that. And it's all paid for. Amen? It's all paid for. And we're saving now to add on from there. Think about that, what God will do. I know that may not be a lot of money to you, but that's a lot of money to me. That's a lot to me. That's really a blessing. And last week, we saw two 18-year-olds and one 30-year-old saved on Easter Sunday morning. Amen. I haven't got a report yet today because they weren't finished with the services, but God's still in the saving business. Amen. Even in Michigan, the liberal state that we are, God's in the saving business, and God can see it happen. Luke 6:38 says, "And the measure is given by, if God is in it, God will bless it." Amen. Not everyone understands about the matter of trusting God. Not everyone will give, but those who give are blessed immensely. Have you ever given beyond your measure and watched God bless you? Anybody can give within your measure. Have you ever given beyond your measure? Have you ever served beyond your measure? It pleases God. That's what that little lad did, if you think about it. He was going to be going without the meal. That's a sacrifice. How old do you think he was? 8, 10, 12, 14 years old? That's a very big sacrifice, all right? That'll be like one of us adults giving our arm, all right? If you think about it to a boy, you know, to give away your lunch, you know what I'm saying? And that's what he did. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Secondly, there were 12 serving disciples. Verse number 12, do you see it? You may or may not like what Jesus said, but Jesus used the doubting disciples. Isn't it something how God will take men and God will use them in spite of themselves? Have you noticed that? God used people in spite of themselves. And that's what he did right here. These doubting disciples needed to do God's work. God said, okay. They said, well, just turn them back. You know, there's not enough here for all these people that's here. And Jesus knew, as you heard when I read the passage, already what he was going to do. But he wanted to let them see and let their hands be the ones to do the work. Could God just did it all for them on that spot? I believe with all my heart he could have. But instead he used them. God has no hands but your hands. God has no lips but your lips. God has no ears but your ears. God has no feet but your feet. God has chosen to use man to help man. Amen? And people need the Lord. Your neighbors need the Lord. Those people that you buy grain from, the people that you do business with, they need the Lord. And you know, the disciples who doubted the resources of the Lord were used by Jesus to distribute to the needy. As they took the bread and the fish, it was multiplied over and over and over again. What was supposed to feed one fed 5,000 men, who knows how many women and children. Most of the time I've noticed that when men come to meetings, women come too. The pastor told me we'd have some preachers there. And I looked out there and said, we have some preachers. We have preachers, we have mamas, and you have lots of little babies running around here. And there were lots of children that were inside of there. As they took the bread and that fish, they collected the remains, and there were 12 baskets. Someone said there were 12 baskets, probably one for every one of the disciples. I don't know. I just don't know. But what I do know is that there was much that was brought back. The Lord didn't waste any. I hate waste, don't you? I tell you, I just don't like any part of it. We go to those buffets, and I took my grandchildren and my son and my daughter-in-law to a buffet the other day. It was on Good Friday. A lot of people in our community are union, and so they get an hour off right in the middle of the day because it's Good Friday. Now, we believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried, and it was in the tomb on that Friday, but they believe that was that day. I'm not going to argue with them. If they get an hour off, I'll preach to them. Amen? And so I went in, and we had a service, and then after the service, hey, kids, we'll take you to eat. And I got a chance to take the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old through the line. I said, now we'll take only what we're going to eat. That's all we're going to take. And we don't want to waste any. And they looked at me, well, there's all this food. I said, and they'll be all there when we leave. But we'll eat what we can have, and that's it. But we don't want to waste anything. It wouldn't please the Lord. There's a lot of people don't have very much. Don't you see that example right here, what God has blessed? I think if more of us as churches, more of our ministry would do what God would want, God would bless us, amen? And we'd have plenty, plenty to use for the Lord God. Matter of fact, I meet a lot of Christians who garages are full. They can't even park their cars in the garage. So they build a pole barn, and then they have to build a bigger pole barn on. You know what I'm saying? And why? Because, just like the Bible says, we fill it all up, we need more. Then what happens? We pass away, and it goes to people who won't even use it for the Lord. Isn't that a shame? Blessed are the meek, Jesus explained. Blessed are the available. Blessed are the conduits. Blessed are the tunnels. Blessed are the tools. You're going to be deliriously joyful if you are the one that God uses in a mighty way. Wouldn't that be something if you led the next person to Christ? Wouldn't that be something? All of heaven's waiting to be able to sing out. Wouldn't that be something? How can that be? How can that be? You know what? You got to go to sleep sometime probably night. Oh, some may work third shift. We have folks work different shifts. But sometimes if you invest in people who are doing the work throughout the world, starting right here with our country, which is a great mission field, as you just heard, can you imagine that 24 hours a day, your mission dollars could be making a difference? Amen? Wouldn't that be something? What a blessing. Just think about it. Deliriously joyful are the ones who believe that God can use sticks, rocks, and spit, it's been said, to do his will. Then God can use us too. Amen? God can use us too. The disciples are the ones who are to follow Jesus. If you're a disciple, say amen. What kind of disciple are you? They take from the Lord to help others. They don't change the message. A good disciple doesn't change the message. They just convey the message that God's given to them. I'm so glad that your church stands for the holy word of God. Amen. So many churches are slipping away from that. Hey, listen, and I'm all for us having the word of God digitally, but don't forget to read it. Amen. We've made it so convenient that folks have forgotten to even read it and to study it and to have a part of it. And they don't even keep the resources. A good disciple doesn't keep the resources. It goes through their hands, and it has to go to the gain for the Lord's kingdom. Need to give it out. Amen. That's why God has for us. Of course, it need to have provision for those disciples, and need to have provision for those lads that give it to us. But then we also need to do what God would want. They love the Lord more than the service, so they won't burn out. Did you hear what I'm saying? The reason why people come to you and they say, "Hey, I just can't teach Sunday school anymore, Pastor. I can't sing with any groups anymore. It just takes too much time." If you love the Lord, then you manage your time so you might honor God, and so that you might be able to be useful to the Lord, so that you might be able to hear from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Wouldn't that be a blessing to hear? That would be a blessing to hear. They know that not everyone will do the work of God. Not everyone's in that state to do the work of God as a disciple, but they do it anyways because God has given them the call. And they're excited that they have that call. Are you excited to have the call of God on your life, that you've been saved by him, that you're not on your way to hell? It would be good for us to every once in a while remind ourselves of that, amen? And so we had the privilege to handle the heavenly things. Think about that. When I used to work as a college student going to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida, I worked at a Publix grocery store market, and for whatever reason, I got promoted into becoming a front-end manager. The thing is, Pastor Yoder, as a front-end manager, you just manage a bunch of people. We had 28 cashiers, and so I had to make sure that they all got their breaks and did what they wanted. And we had 42 bag boys that would bag the groceries for people. They had to make sure they get the carts in and all that. And then if there weren't stocked things, and I need to call, make sure the stock people are in their place. But the biggest responsibility is to take the deposits. For whatever reason, the Publix chain at that time, when I was working for them during those 6 years of getting my undergraduate degree and then moving on with more education, they decided it'd be safer to have people who didn't look like security people take cash from the store and go make a deposit. So unbeknown to them, after I would work with the cashiers, work with those other people, I'd get a call at the phone, I'd pick it up, they say, "Come and get a deposit." I'd go over there, and they'd just have an envelope. And inside that envelope, there'd be $40,000, $60,000, $80,000 that they'd already added all up, had a deposit slip in there, and then it would be in a bag, you know, and then they'd have it in a grocery bag, put it under my arm, go get inside my car, drive over to the bank and make the deposit. I remember thinking over and over again, you know, if someone comes up and wants to take that money from me, what are we supposed to do? I remember even asking the supervisor. He said, "Well, your life's not worth that money. If someone comes and they want that money, you just give them the money. We can make more money." You know how many times we make that much money? During Thanksgiving weekend, our particular grocery store made over $300,000. That's a lot of turkeys, huh? And I made three trips a day with grocery bag under my arm, all right? Go out, get my car, drive. I had a car that wasn't even worth a tenth of what I was carrying. And sometimes a bag boy would come along with me, and it would look kind of inconspicuous. And I remember thinking, man, I have so much, I'll probably never make that much money in my whole life. And I'm carrying that many deposits over inside of that. That was their plan. We never had an incident all the time that I was there. So they didn't have to hire those Brinks Brinks, Brinks companies to come in there and do it all. And I was just thinking, when I was looking at this part, it's just like a disciple of the Lord. We have the most valuable thing in the whole world. All we need to do is make deposit, give it to the people that need it. Amen? All the other things that I was doing as that front-end manager, it was important. You know, the customers would get taken care of and what have you. But we needed to have the money to be able to pay for all those people and then to pay for all the supplies that were going to be put on the shelves. Next, that's making you think. Some of you are thinking where you go to the store at when you watch someone walk out with a bag under their arm, if that's what they're doing. I made you think, didn't I? The touch of the Savior. We see we've got one giving lad. We've got 12 serving disciples. And finally, the touch of the Savior. Look at verses 10 and 11 and 14. One touch by one Savior. It was the Savior that touched those two fish. It was the Savior that touched those five barley loaves. And I got to let you tell you, I wanted to let you know something here. This was better than the Hawaiian rolls. Huh? This was sweeter than honey. All right? This would probably be as close as what the Hebrew children had in the desert. Huh? In the wilderness. Huh? Because this was the Lord, from the Lord's hand to their lips. Arthur Tritches, look out, huh? I mean, this was awesome. This was amazing. And the plan, that the work, the plan. And Jesus set all this in motion. And God set something in motion today, hasn't he? Position everyone on the ground. That's what he did. Why would you do that? So that everyone could see that the supply came from the Lord. Amen? God has a plan. I'm convinced that God's plan for this church is your pastor. God didn't plan for churches to be run by elder boards. God didn't plan for churches to be run by some preacher over in the other state, and then you have a video up on the board, and no one knows who the pastor is, and then you just have a facilitator. He's always established it, a local church, with a pastor having the vision to bring the word to the people, and then the people following the Lord. Pastor gets one vote, the people get one vote. We're all just sinners saved by grace, amen? But if he goes the wrong way, don't you know that the Holy Spirit will convict him? You go the wrong way, the same thing. Amen? This was God's plan. They're just the under-shepherd. I always tell the folks that same thing. When folks come in and ask me about something, I say, well, what do you think we should do? Well, why are you asking me? I say, because you're a member of the church too. What would you think? Well, I think we ought to do it that way. Should we have the flower in the middle, Pastor, or should we have it over on the side? That was my wife's duty. I didn't do all those things. I said, well, where do you think it should be? Should it be right here? Or should it be right here? And they move this over there. And they said, well, I think it looks better right there. I said, let's do that. Huh? Well, feel pretty important. I just made a decision in the church. Well, it's your church. Amen? The most important thing to me was this part right here. I didn't care about the deck. I wasn't going to argue with them. You know what I'm saying? They don't realize what is going on. My wife was the one that made the silk flowers anyway. She wouldn't have cared as long as they got used of the Lord. That's what she loved to do. The method of living is best described in the Word, isn't it? If you remember what the Word of God says, and several of you do, as you study it and you read it and you go forward with it, it always pleases God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you think about that for a second, you need to drink from it. Don't stray from it. Jesus practiced. Satan hated it. Jesus quoted it to Satan. He just quoted the word of God, put him in his place. That's what we each and every one to do. The touch of the Savior, the prayer of the Savior. We make it a practice in our home. Everything before we consume it, we pray over it. Amen? And we make a practice of everything that we do. And the Lord's work should be done. We even have a men's prayer breakfast. Actually, it's a time for the men to go and just sit and jaw and talk, you know, and do it every Thursday. Been doing it for over a year. But first thing we do is we pray. Then we ask if anybody has any prayer requests, and they do again. What started out as a 20-minute, 30-minute thing goes on for an hour time. Men just praying and then bringing up different needs and then bringing up different blessings that God has done. What a blessing. And then open up the Word and share the Word along with them. Jesus practiced prayer. You don't even want to pray when you're living carnally, do you? If you live victoriously, you want to pray, amen. You live forgiving others, you want to pray, amen. You pray when you want to live generously, amen. You pray when you have a need, don't you? I know I do. Well, I'm so grateful for your privilege that your pastor gave me to be able to speak one more time. The sweetest times inside of my relationship with my wife was when we would pray together. We pray every morning together. If she was up by the time that I would leave, when she was well, and when she wasn't well, we pray every morning together first thing, and we prayed every evening together. We didn't know what the rest of the time would bring. We just wanted to make sure we are in tune with the Lord. Amen. You know how you make sure how a person who tunes pianos makes sure that they're in tune? They don't tune it to the other key. They bring their own instrument to tune it to. They have to have a master instrument to tune your instrument to it. And if there's an organ in the room, then they'll tune it to the organ, because that can't be adjusted very easily. We need to tune our lives to the Lord. Amen. God's given you an under-shepherd, and I'm so grateful for you. I'd hope that you'd be one to realize, like the lad, you have something in your hand. Some of you have been holding off and singing special music or bringing your instruments from high school. You don't even know where they are. You need to look underneath your old pumps, look underneath your tools, and find that clarinet, that trumpet, and tell the pastor, we'll bring it in here and we'll play inside of the service to add to the service. Yes. Some of you need to say, you know what, we just need to go visiting on our street. Take some of these nice gospel tracks. I was trying to distribute some of these today. I put one inside of the restroom that I went in there, washed my hands, I left it out there. And someone picked it up, one of the pastor's kids picked it up and brought it back and said, look, I found this in the bathroom. And his father said, go back in there and put it back inside the bathroom. Someone's going to need that. Amen. The bathroom ministry, you may not think that's a very important ministry, but the man who is my attorney, his father walked into Fisher Body and went into the Fisher Body restroom, and someone had left one of these gospel tracks right on top of the tissue roll, and he took that gospel track and he put it inside of his wallet, and then he went back to work. That Friday night he got his paycheck like he always did. But that Friday night was a little different than all the other Friday nights, because usually on Friday night he bought a fifth of whiskey on his way home. He would drink the whiskey, and after he'd get good and drunk, he'd go upstairs and he'd beat his wife. And after he'd beat his wife, then he'd go into each bedroom and beat each one of his three children. And then he'd fall asleep in the hallway. So that night, he decided that was enough. After he finished drinking the whiskey, he opened up his wallet and he was going to put things in order, and he had picked up a gun and he was going to shoot himself and put himself out of his misery. And as he was putting his things in order out of his wallet, he found that gospel track that he had picked up a little earlier. The alcohol hadn't affected him too much where he couldn't read it, and as he was reading it, he started crying and he started getting convicted. And then the Lord God saved him right there at his kitchen table with his revolver and all of his material laying out. He took the gospel track and he walked up the stairs where his wife had closed the bedroom door waiting for him to come, as he did every Friday night. But this time when he opened up the door, he opened up the gospel track and he showed her what he did, and she asked Jesus to be her Savior. Then they walked down the hallway and went to the first bedroom door, and the children had hidden under the bed waiting for Dad to come in and do what he always did, took his belt and beat him until they were go to sleep sobbing. And my Christian attorney, who was a 10-year-old, whose name was Michael Thomas, when he looked up under the thing, he saw there was something different about his dad, and his dad said, come here, son, I'm not going to beat you. I've got Jesus now. The whole family went to the church that was written on the back of that gospel tract and were baptized the next week. Don't tell me that God can't take a little something and use it in a great way. Let's pray. You're here tonight